That's good, folks. I know you braved the weather to come out tonight because they're calling for sleet and freezing rain and then snow and all the rest of it. I know that. And I know a lot of folks afraid to get out tonight on account of that, and I understand it, believe me. So because of that, I don't think it'd be wise to stay here too long. Good Lord will take care of us. I know that. He will. And I've got a little message here tonight I want to give out to you. I'd like you to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Genesis 5, verse number 1. We're going to get into a little chronology tonight. Chronology is very important. If we get a broad spectrum of the Bible, understand some things, and help put things together. Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In other words, mankind. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Remember, I've said time and again, the word Adam is a generic term. It means mankind. So what that means is that the woman and the man comprise mankind. And in the day when they were created. And then it tells you how long Adam lived and begat a son. And we know what happened with Cain, and we know what happened with Abel. Before the flood, the Bible is very careful to point out two separate lines of people, the line of Cain and the line of Seth. The reason for that is because in Genesis 3:15, the promise of the seed of the woman comes down through the line of Seth, not the line of Cain. And it's very important to understand when the Bible emphasizes something like this, that you need to look at it carefully. Now, chronologically speaking, 4000 B.C. was the creation of Adam. 4000, all right. This is 2000 A.D., so it's been about 6,000 years since the man was made. Now, that's important. Now, I believe the Bible, and I believe the chronology of the Bible, and I believe man's been here 6,000 years. I don't believe he's been here 60,000 billion trillion, the rest of whatever, all that foolishness. I believe he's been here 6,000 years. Now, I believe a real flood came on this earth. A real flood, and a flood that covered the entire earth. But what folks don't think much about is the fact of how long did they live from the creation of Adam till the flood came. And you'd be surprised at how long a period of time transpires up until Genesis 6, when God opened the windows of heaven and began to pour out water upon this earth. It rained for the first time. And when it did, of course, God was fulfilling a prophecy. Man lived 1,656 years from the creation of Adam to the flood. That's almost 1,700 years. Now, that's a long time. That's long enough to forget about God. Remember, we live 2010 Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Somewhere a little over 2,000 years ago, Christ was born. All right, so it's been 2,000 years. Now, when you think back at the birth of Christ, do you consider that to be an ancient time? Of course it is. There's very little recorded about of that time when it comes to history. Tacitus was a historian, and a few others, but not many. And what we call that is ancient history. And when we say ancient history, we're not talking about modern history. We're talking about ancient history. We're talking about going back 2,000 years. Now, go back from that point to the flood, which would have been approximately 2,300 and something years after the creation of man, all right? Or 1,656 years after man's creation, but 2,300 and something from the time of Christ. Look at that. Another 2,000 year span of time from the time of Christ to the flood. That was even more ancient than what you have right now when you look back to the time of Christ. And how many of you think that the time of Christ was a long time ago? All right. At the time the Lord Jesus was here 2,000 years ago, to go back to the time of the flood was a long time ago. Now consider the span of time that the Bible covers. The Bible is talking about something that happened all the way back 1,656 years after the creation of Adam. That's a long time ago. That's plenty of time for the earth to multiply, for men to multiply. And as the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. When you trace the genealogy of Cain, you'll see that Cain went out and scattered out and began to build cities. He began to build musical instruments. He began to develop skills working with metal. He began to make the earth as comfortable as he possibly could, for he had put his roots down in the earth. When you look at the genealogy of Seth and follow his descendants, you'll see that they, on the other hand, were pilgrims and strangers and moving about on the earth, and they did not put their roots down in the earth. And they named their children after prophecies, looking for the coming of the Lord. Even in the book of Jude, the Bible says that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, which meant that he was the eighth. See, new beginning. Enoch prophesied of these, saying, "The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to exercise judgment on all the ungodly." And he's talking about the ungodly of his day. For the Bible says that violence was spread throughout all the world. Now, when the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, how many souls were saved in Noah's day? Eight. Out of all the millions of people on the earth, only eight were saved. That's not very many. It's obvious that the Almighty did not intend to evangelize the world before the flood. That eight souls, what he meant to do was to carry one world over into another world. That's exactly what he did. Now, when the Lord Jesus says, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Think about that for a moment. I firmly believe that the church is in total apostasy. And I believe that it's rapidly spreading. And I believe churches are falling now like dominoes. And they're embracing whatever new pop theology and pop worship service and pop whatever comes down the line, so that they can survive and so that they can build a congregation. I believe that. And since that is true, the number that will go at the second coming of the Lord will not be near as big as a lot of people think. It won't be near as big. And it won't have near the profound effect that just say 40 years ago, people used to think. Believers back then, 35, 40 years ago, believed that millions and millions all of a sudden would come up missing when the Lord comes to catch up his bride. And it won't be that way. I'm afraid that when he comes to take up his bride, that he'll take a few here and a few there and a few here and a few there. Maybe this church 80 or 90% will go. Maybe that church 80 or 90% will go. But for the most part, out of most churches, maybe 5, 10% might leave, something like that, and usually the older ones. When he comes, therefore, his impact won't be near as great. The time of deception is now, not future. It's now, folks. The deception is at work right now. And the deception is working. The deception is greater than it's ever been. I see people today who are who just no more than a year or two ago, 5 years ago, were orthodox, right down the line, looking for the coming of the Lord. I see that they've given in. I see that they're compromising. And they're buying this new religion. They're becoming part of it. And the world, you know, the world, the Bible says in the day of Noah they were marrying and giving in marriage and knew not till the flood came and took them away. You look at the genealogy of Seth and you'll see the names that they named their children. You'll see that Enoch means initiation. And Enoch being initiation was the seventh from Adam. It means that God's going to teach something in his birth. And he certainly did. For Enoch bore a son and called him Methuselah. And Methuselah means when he is dead it will be sent. And Methuselah lived 969 years. And the year of his death, the flood came. But do you realize how far over into the generations that Adam lived? Adam lived for 930 years. Do you realize that Adam, for almost 1,000 years after the creation of man, could stand and personally speak about his personal relationship with his Maker and how that he had sinned and was cast out of the garden? And he probably could take them to the very spot where those two cherubim stood and stood for all the way to the flood. to keep the way to the tree of life? If they wanted to, the truth, they had the truth right there. They had an evangelist like you wouldn't believe in Adam. And Enoch was, Adam lived all the way to the birth of Enoch. Can you imagine that? And lived to the time where the one who was born would be the one who is a picture of the rapture of the church of God. For Enoch lived 365 years, walked with God 300 years, and in the 300th year that he walked with him, he was no more, for God took him and carried him out of the world. He took him away. He just translated him. The Bible says that he should not see death. He was privileged, but he was blessed. But God made a statement about that line of Seth. These were the ones who kept the truth of the Word of God. I can't emphasize tonight how important it is to remember this. The age of Laodicea has settled down. It has settled down all over the world. And people are still religious. They're very religious. But they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. They don't have Him in their heart. They have the world in their heart. But they've got a mind that tells them they're Christian. But their heart is in the world. You see, well, it doesn't work. That's not going to work. And they're going to miss the rapture. And there's going to be an awful lot of shocked religious people when the rapture takes place. They're going to be shocked to find out they didn't go. But then they're going to have to deal face to face with the issue that what they had was up here in the head and it wasn't down here in the heart, because all they have to do is examine their lives. And they live just like the world. They fornicate like the world. They shoot up drugs like the world. They got a filthy mouth like the world. They live in the world. Their earth, their world is the world. That's what they're about. They're about the here and the now, the temporal, right here, right now. And that's what the world is about. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. The message that's going to be preached right before the coming of the Lord, and that's where we are right now, right before the coming of the Lord, is not going to be popular. But for those of you who believe it and hear the truth, you'll be the ones who go. And for those who reject it and turn to a nice, comfortable Christian religion, it's everywhere. Go find you a church with a cross on it. They're on every street corner. And you can get a nice, comforting, inspiring message by a nice, comforting, inspiring reverend. And he'll stand in the pulpit and he'll inspire you and comfort you and give you every reason in the world to feel good about yourself and feel good about Christ. But don't you see the deceit of the wicked one? Because the message of the new birth is not preached. It's not preached. And how do you know it's not? You don't preach the new birth unless you preach repentance. And you do not preach repentance unless you preach the power of the Holy Spirit to convict of sin. You can't have one without the other. You can't have repentance without preaching the convicting power of God to convict of sin. Do you hear anything about that? There are churches in this town that haven't heard the word sin, S-I-N, in generations. And there are preachers in this town who never mentioned the word sin. They may talk about your faults and your shortcomings and your failures, you know, and how you'd like to do better and blah, 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 and all kinds of stuff. But they won't mention sin. And when they don't do that, then the Bible in John, he said, he will convince the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. Is the Bible all that wrong and we're all right that we can just look over it and throw it out? This is the problem. I seldom ever hear a preacher preach that rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ is a sin. It's an unpardonable sin. There's no forgiveness in the world to come if you reject Christ. But you can't reject Him till you've heard about Him and been convicted. And the conviction comes by the Holy Spirit of God. Do you believe that there are people going to church right now? They've been to church for every Sunday, say for the last 5 or 10 years, right here in this town, who have never heard a clear gospel message? There's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no conviction. This is the boldest faced, arrogant, sinning generation that's ever lived. In your face with it, like it or lump it. And they go to church. What's happened, folks? Let me tell you what's happened. The Holy Spirit has withdrawn from that place. And when the Holy Ghost goes, the doctrines don't matter. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible becomes a dead book. The Holy Ghost is the one who makes that book alive. He turns it on. The Holy Spirit, and they grieve him, and they quench him, and they tell him he's not welcome. They don't have to say it verbally. It's just by the way they live, and they don't want to hear the truth. Thank God for conviction.
Amen.
I firmly believe the Lord's going to come back soon.
Yes,
and I'm looking for his coming.
Amen.
Do you know why I really believe it? Because I know apostasy when I see it. And folks, you are living in apostasy. You're living in it. And some of you have known nothing but apostasy. I knew a time when it wasn't this bad. But it's bad. It's real bad. There's no conviction. And without conviction, no conversion. So Adam lived 930 years. He had a direct connection with God and a direct connection with the people. And by that, he was able to teach them and to preach to them and prepare Noah. And when Noah was born, they named him Noah and said, "By him shall God give us rest." And the Bible says in the book of Genesis that then began men to call upon the name of the Lord right before the flood. And the ones who called upon the Lord, if you'll notice, they called upon Jehovah. They called upon the covenant-keeping God. Now here's something I want to leave with you. God reveals himself in stages throughout the Bible. And the more God reveals himself, the more you're held accountable. Now here's what he said to Adam. Do you remember what he said to him when he sinned? What was his curse? What was the condemnation to Adam? What did he say to him? From dust thou art? What? And dust thou shalt return. All right. When was hell made and who was it made for? It was made for the devil and his angels. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Then there must have been a very severe reason for the Almighty to make hell. Right? Don't you think so? Don't you think so? Aren't you glad that no man can send you to hell? Aren't you glad that no so-called church can send you to hell? Aren't you glad that your soul does not lie in the hands of men? I wouldn't trust my soul to a man in a heartbeat. No way in the world. Even the best of men, I would not trust my soul to. I would never do that. Well, notice the progression. When Adam sinned, God said, "Adam, I took you from dirt, and into dirt you shall return." Now, if the Almighty had not done any more to elevate Adam to a higher plane than what he had originally was made at, where would he have wound up? Think it. Think about it. As God reveals himself and manifests the truth and more is known, man is more accountable. Now, how accountable do you think this generation is today in 2010? How accountable do you think they are? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now listen carefully. This is so important. People just fly over stuff and don't pay any attention to it. Because they love not the truth, but loved the lie, or had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a judgment. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Every judgment God has when he judges mankind, he bases it on something. In John chapter number 3, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. That word condemnation literally means this is the way God is going to judge you. That light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light. See? Because they love not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. For that cause, God will send them strong delusion. In plain words, he seals their doom. There's no hope for them. Otherwise, if he did not send them strong delusion, what's the alternative? Think about it for a minute. Think it through. Why does God actively get involved in sending a strong delusion upon somebody who has rejected the truth? Because he takes every opportunity of salvation away from them. Once he has sent them a strong delusion, he has judged them before the final judgment. He's even judged them before they die. He has sent them judgment and says, because they love not the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe what? The lie. And that's a study from Genesis to Revelation. The lie. What is the lie? Here's the truth, here's the lie. Here's not a truth and a lie, here's the truth, the lie. Who's the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ. And who would the lie be? It'd be Satan. Here's the truth, Christ. The lie, Satan. Here is the light bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. Here's Lucifer, the light bearer. Here's the anointed of God, the Lord's Christ. Here is, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He's anointed too. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the God-man born 2,000 years ago. Here is Lucifer. Where did he come from? He came into existence the same way the angels did. What do they call the angels in the Old Testament? Sons of God. The Bible said a day came when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. Satan came also. The sons of God in Job shouted when God created the earth and the heavens and all this stuff. They were there before the creation of the physical world. Sons of God. So when the Lord Jesus Christ, for 40 days, was tempted of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ is the begotten of the Father, begotten by the power of the Holy Spirit, the only begotten Son of God. All right? And here's one who lays claim to the same thing. Here's the truth, here's the lie. Sometimes the truth and the lie are so hard to distinguish between the two that even the smartest and brightest of men cannot do it. How do you do it, preacher? Holy Ghost, that's how you do it. The Holy Ghost shall guide you into all. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he also. How do you know tonight? Ask yourself this question, Lord's coming. How do you know tonight that you know for certain, absolutely certain, that you're going to go at the rapture, that you know you're born again? Do you know that? How do you know that? If you tell me you've always been a Christian, I'm scared to death for your salvation. You'd better know of a day. You'd better know of a time. You may not remember the place or even remember the day of the date, but you know there's a day where you came face to face with your Maker. You met him, and your heart changed, and your life changed, and your testimony changed, and somebody's bigger inside you than what you used to be, and now you're walking in a different world than what you used to live in. And now there's a testimony in you, whether men accept you or reject you, you know whom you have believed. Your persuader is able to keep that. Whether some church accepts you or rejects you, some association accepts you or rejects you, is irrelevant. You couldn't care less. But you know who you have believed. Do you know that? How do you know that? You know that by the Holy Ghost. That's how you know it. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll guide you to the truth. Jesus Christ said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, the life. All right? You're going to accept that? Then no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You believe that? Then you have to reject ecumenicalism. You have to reject political correctness. You have to reject all religions on the same path headed to the same direction. You have to reject outright man-made religion. And you have to say, here I stand, like the one you read about just a moment. You sang the song, Away in a Manger. How many of you saw who wrote that song? How many bother to look? Do you know who wrote that? Martin Luther. Do you know what he did when the Roman Catholic Church came against him? They tried their best to kill him. Martin Luther had already, he was a prolific writer. He translated the Bible into the German language before the King James Bible. One man, a lot of work. Here's what Martin Luther said when they brought all his books against him, you know, and they said, did you write all this heresy? Did you write all this? Do you accept it? Here's Martin Luther. He said, here I stand. I stand on what is said. God help me. Here I stand. I won't waver. I stand on what I said and what I wrote. Do you know what happened? Martin Luther lived out to be an old man. He's the one who wrote Away in the Manger. God led him into the truth. Martin Luther got saved. He got saved out of the Roman Catholic Church. He got saved. Amen. I would consider it an absolute, complete failure of my ministry when we're gone and stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ. If the Lord comes up and says, well now, you pastored for 34 or 35 years at Temple Baptist Church, but most of your people were lost. I would say to myself, I failed miserably. I failed. I can't save you, but it's my responsibility to preach the truth to you. And by the grace of God, I've preached it ever since I've been here. I'm going to preach it till he comes to get us. It's not popular. You don't make friends with it. You don't build great big churches with it, but the truth is the truth. Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. He sure could, brother. You make your choices. That's that image of God. That's that part that God gave you. He gave you a will. He certainly did. And that will can elevate you higher than the angels. It certainly can. That will can. You make the right choice and it'll elevate you above the angels. That includes Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, and any of the rest of them. Those two aren't mentioned in the Bible, but you'll find them over and over and over and over again when you read other literature that outside the Scripture. There's only one, of course, one Bible. I'm done tonight. We're going to pick up this again with this now. I'm going to show you some things, Lord willing, before the flood. Remember, 1,656 years after Adam was created, the flood came. Almost 1,700 years. The flood came. The heavens were opened. All right. See how long God waits? He doesn't get in a hurry. Father, in thy name we pray, Lord, use what I've said tonight for the glory of God. Bless your holy name. Your good God been good to me, and I bless you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, remember Cindy Ramsey.